Chapter 1. Anfield, August 26, 1816. I once believed time was linear, that one event followed another, one action, one consequence. However, now I sometimes, no, almost always, have the sense that everything, all that I know, believe, and experience, happens in a great swoop of chaotic activity like the tumbling of dice in a cup. For example, I am here at Anfield, but all too often my thoughts return to London, to moments best forgotten and, hopefully, forgiven, if it is at all possible. I can literally see myself sitting in this chair at my desk in the library, marking my journal, but I also sense myself stepping out of the coach for the first time onto Mayfair's hallowed streets, or attending the Countess of Churnley's ball and being introduced to Geoffrey Hamilton. Dancing with him and feeling my father's greedy eyes upon us. Ah, yes, it is the past because I realise the portent of such moments now. When they happened, I was blessedly oblivious. I experience other occasions as well. They come to me in dreams, in my imaginings, in any unguarded thoughts. I see my mistakes and I'm powerless to call them back, and yet the question of why I should destroy myself remains. I cannot explain my own actions, because I do not fully understand them. No, that is a lie. I know too well why I made the decisions I have. I've faced my demons. I let them believe I betrayed my vows because I needed to survive. Peter saved my life, for his attention to me spurred Jeff to divorce. Such maudlin thoughts. Encouraged, no doubt, by the knowledge that Tara Manny's in 3 days' time. I shall not be there. My appearance at the wedding breakfast would be decidedly uncomfortable. A divorced woman is not included in polite society, not to say that any society in London is polite. In truth, it is not terrible to live beyond their approval. I am content, in a fashion. I accept. I wish Tara well. I hope she's happy. I worry as a sister who knows too well the danger of expectations. And I pray that at some time in my life I shall find peace in all that has happened and that I can stop dodging the shadows of my past. Or, at the least, time returns to its proper form when there is the here and now and nothing matters beyond this very moment. Eileen jabbed the pen back into its place on the inkstand and stared at the words she'd written. She sounded like a lunatic. If anyone read her journal, they would believe her ready to be locked up, and sometimes she agreed. Oh yes, too often she feared she was losing her mind. She closed the journal and shoved it into the desk drawer. She kept this drawer locked. It contained Anfield's ledger of household accounts and the precious diary she started writing upon her return almost 3 years ago. She'd arrived, and in the same day, Tara had been swept away by their father to try her own hand at the London Marriage Mart. He'd undoubtedly wished to keep his youngest away from Eileen's poisonous presence, or at least that was the impression he'd given. For Eileen, however, life wasn't terrible in the valley. There were those who ostracised her, but the majority accepted her. London was a good distance away, and what did loyal Scots care for English opinion? However, the Scots did take pride in Tara's spectacular success on the marriage mart. She was about to wed Blake Stevens, the catch of the season and the Duke of Penvy's illegitimate son. They called him the Bastard. A simple, direct title, although everyone knew that the powerful Duke favoured this son over his legitimate ones, presumably because the Bastard was rich. Stevens was said to be very clever when it came to investments and had become extremely popular in the way only wealthy, handsome men could be. "I pray she is happy," Eileen murmured, closing her eyes. "Please, God, save her from the hell I endured." Images rose in Eileen's mind. Jeff's shouts, the burst of pain, the anger of society, the moment when another man's touch gave her hope. She opened her eyes with a start. Even her pulse had picked up its pace. She stared at the room's comfortable furniture, torn between fear and desire. She need no longer be afraid. What had happened had been a long time ago. But what of her deepest yearnings, and the craving for affection that were part of every woman's soul. Those she fought by grounding herself in Anfield's blessed peace and the daily list of duties that kept her occupied.